that ye always having all, say it with me, sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Look up here right quick. We have got a lot of new people. But not only have we got a lot of new people, we've got a lot of new Christians in this place. I want you to understand tonight that I don't care who you are or where you're from, God has a plan for your life and He has a path to get you to that plan. Would you agree?
Amen.
And I just thought it was pretty neat in this passage of Scripture that God said He's given us all sufficiency to do His will or to do His work. God has given us everything we need. I remember as a young Christian thinking, I could never do this or I could never do that. You know what I found out, Brother Broderick? I found out I can do whatever God wants me to do. We live in a society that tells our children, you can be anything you want. That's a stupid statement. You cannot be anything you want. Somebody help me right there. I mean, these boys love basketball. Listen to me, Mr. Parker. Listen to me. You ain't no Michael Jordan.
Amen.
Amen. There's just certain things you can't do. Would you agree with that? But this world says you can be anything you want to be. I disagree with that. I don't think I could have been a rocket scientist. I don't think I could have been a nuclear physicist or a brain surgeon. Would you want me working on your brain? If y'all was about to be put under and you heard this voice say, hey, y'all give me one of them knives over there. I'm fixed to cut this and open right here. Yeah, you'd be ready to go to the house, amen? You can't be anything you want to be. But I tell you what you can be. You can be anything God wants you to be. Amen. You can be anything that God desires for you to be. And God has a will for your life. And sometimes we look at the way God is leading and we think, this is not possible. We have one of our young families, they're not here tonight, Brother Don and Miss Candace. They'll be moving out, Lord willing, to Colorado to help Brother Caleb in the church we planted out there. And I think that's a good thing. I hadn't convinced Barbara of it yet, that her grandbaby's moving all the way across the country. But I do. I think it's a good thing. But we look at stuff like that and we think, man, that's so big and that's such a big step. I want you to back up just for a minute. Think about how big that is for God. What is huge to us is nothing to Him. What overwhelms us and we just can't seem to even wrap our minds around. We're talking about one who spoke this world into existence. Moving to Colorado, that ain't a big deal for Him. Amen. Surrendering to preach the gospel, that ain't a big deal for Him. These things that seem to overwhelm us doesn't catch God by surprise one little bit. Amen? Look at Hebrews chapter number 13. Where are you going, Maddox? Everything okay? Hebrews chapter number 13. That boy's a sight right there. Hebrews chapter number 13. Look with me at verse number 21. Hebrews 13 and verse number 21. Now listen tonight, I want you to understand, by the time I get to the end of this message tonight, I want you to know God has something for you to do.
Yes,
this ain't a sitting church.
Amen.
Let me say that again. This is not a sitting church. This is a serving church. God saved us with a purpose in mind. You ever felt like you were just made to do something? Come on, be honest. You just felt like there was something that just naturally you were good at or naturally you just really loved doing. You feel like, boy, this is what God made me to do. Well, listen, God did make you to do something. And if you ladies have got that sticker on your car that says born to shop, that ain't it. Amen. That ain't it. There was some guy on the interstate the other day. I was going to Emory, to the hospital, and by the time you get to Emory, you're in the flesh anyway. And this guy's bumper sticker said something to the effect of, I wish I was on the 18th green. And I thought, dear God, I do too. I wish you was anywhere but on I-20 this morning. Amen. Listen, there are certain things. There is something in your life that God made you to do. And what I want to encourage you to do is find out whatever that thing is and do it. Them girls got down here praying together, grew up on our buses. Well, I say the girls, Denzel came with them. They was all down here praying. And man, I tell you, that's the sweetest thing in all the world. Them getting up, giving God the glory about healing mama with her cancer. Hallelujah, man. How old was y'all when you started riding the bus? Pretty little. 11 and 12 years old, boy. And now they're the captain of our Carrollton route, boy. Ain't that good? Hey, listen, they may never be missionaries. I don't know. They may wind up back in Haiti one day. I know Brother Houston would sure love to take them over there. I hope not. I hope the Lord leaves them right here. It just may be God's will for them little bus children to be bus captains and love on bus children for the rest of their life. But I'm telling you, God made us and God saved us with a purpose in mind. Now, I don't know about you, but I know what my purpose is. There's a lot of things in this life I enjoy. But a lot of those things aren't my purpose. They're just benefits. Yeah. This is my purpose. God made me to preach this book. Yeah. Amen. I don't claim to be a good teacher because I ain't. I can teach. I'm apt to teach. I could fill in for Brother Charles, but I couldn't do his class justice. Amen. Yeah. I'm not a great teacher, but God made me to preach this book. Amen. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Did I tell you to go there? He said, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, which is, say the word with me. Oh, I'm sorry. To do His will, working in you that which is, say that word. Well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom God, or to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, if you agree with the Bible even a little bit, you would have to agree there must be a will for your life. There must be something that God wants you to do. Now listen, if we're not careful, we'll look at who we were and what we used to be, and we'll think, based on that, I could never do this or that. Because of where I came from and what I am. Listen, the Lord began to give me something through working with and training and working with this new horse I got. Last year, about this time, maybe a little before this time, I had a paint horse. And she was possessed with seven devils. Say amen right there, Brother Chris. I mean, the horse had demons in it. I mean, as pretty as a picture, Brother Anthony was. She was a doll baby. I mean, she was gorgeous, but mean as a snake. The day I sold her, she bit me. I ain't lying. Brother Anthony had asked me about her, and I told him I'd get rid of her, and he gave some guy my number, and wound out Brother Chris knew the guy. But anyway, I'm out there feeding the horse, and I just reached across the gate to pet her. Pet her now, love on her. She reached over my back and bit me on the shoulder. While she's biting me, my phone starts ringing. I still have a horse attached to my back, and my phone starts ringing. I finally got away from the horse and answered the phone. I'm madder than the devil himself. And hello? And the guy on the other end says, I hear you got a horse for sale. I said, uh-huh. Price just went way, way, way down. Where you at? I bring her to you. Anyway, the guy come and bought the horse. And I made up my mind, and my wife and I talked about it, and me and Brother Chris talked about it, and I made up my mind, I'm not buying another horse till I can get what I want, and I can buy one that is already trained. Somebody else has done already put in all the work. All I got to do is come home from preaching out of town, throw my leg over that rascal, and go. I ain't fooling with no more colts. I ain't fooling with no more young horses. Well, a few months later, I'm in Arkansas. Preaching. Good friend of mine comes with the preacher to pick me up at the airport, and I get in the car, and before he said, hey, Brother Eddie, good to see you, anything. Before he said, he raised his horses. Before he said anything, he said, I got your horse. I said, what? He said, yeah, I got your horse. And he began to tell me what he had, and I got interested. I mean, real interested. We pulled up in his driveway, and as soon as we pulled in the driveway, I could see him. I said, is that him? He said, that's him. I said, sold. I'll take him. I called my wife. I said, honey, you ain't going to believe what I've done. Y'all pray for her because she has to hear that statement from time to time. And her mind's going 90 miles an hour. You bought a 69 Camaro. You're bringing home a puppy. Or you bought a horse. I said, I bought a horse. She said, well, is it the one you want? I said, not yet. She said, I thought you wasn't going to buy any more horses that wasn't broke. She said, honey, she told me one time I was 49 years old. I need to start riding horses closer to my own age. Only problem is most of them are dead. Amen. And I began to explain to her, honey, you just don't know what he is. Katie, you can go ahead and put that picture up there if you would, baby. I pulled up in this guy's driveway, and that ain't what I saw. That's what I saw. You can turn them lights down up there. Somebody, Brother David, Stacy, anybody back there? Michael, one of y'all. I pulled up in the guy's driveway, and we began to talk about this horse. His name is Poco. I've always said I grew up riding horses, and Brother Randy and Clint and his sister, we all rode horses together growing up, and I always looked at the quarter horse world and always dreamed, Brother Charles, if I could get a Poco Bueno bred horse or a Doc Bar bred horse. Those are very good bloodlines, very, very good bloodlines. And I always thought, boy, if I could get one of the two, if I could get a Poco Bueno bred horse or a Doc Bar bred horse, and I got to looking at this little dude's papers. He brought them to me at the service that night, and I got to looking at his papers. Guess who his granddaddy is on his daddy's side? Poco Bueno. On his mama's side, Doc Bar is the granddaddy. And I thought, man, I got to have this horse. And the guy looked at me, and here's what he said. He said, Brother Eddie, he's got a good bloodline, but he don't know anything. Now stay with me right here. He's got very good bloodlines, but he just doesn't know anything. He's young, he's pretty quiet, he's got a good mind, and let me say it again, he's got great bloodlines, he just don't know anything. I bought this horse for myself for Christmas. I sung Jingle Bells all the way home. I bought this horse for myself for Christmas, and I did not buy this horse because of what he is. Because on face value, he's really nothing. He's not broke to ride. He doesn't know anything. He can't rope a steer. He can't do anything. I bought him solely because of who his daddy is. Somebody better get with me. What they call this breeding in horses is foundation bred. He's a foundation bred quarter horse. That means his bloodline goes back to the original quarter horses that set the standard for what a quarter horse is. I didn't buy him because of what he could do. I bought him for who he was. Let me tell you something. When I got saved, I got some foundation bloodline. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. I got saved. I was a nobody. But bless God, I became a somebody. The book of Romans said, hey, we've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Eddie White may not be much, but my daddy is very much. Amen. I got saved. I was just like Poco. I didn't know nothing. But boy, I had some good bloodline. Are you listening? I didn't know anything. I just had some good bloodlines. With those bloodlines comes a temperament and a mindset. Some horses are just idiots. I've met some people in church like that. No matter what you do, you can't do nothing with them. They got a mind of their own. But I bought this horse because of what I believed he could be. You understand God didn't save you because of what you are? He didn't save you because of what your daddy's last name is. He didn't save you because you had a beautiful voice. Are you listening to me? We got some folks around here that can sing. I mean, God's blessed them, give them a talent. My son can write songs. I ain't never seen nothing like it in my life. I mean, he just cranks them out. I wrote another song. I'm like, you're lying. You're stealing that stuff somewhere. You're my kid. You come from my loins. You ain't got, no, ain't no way. And he just cranks them songs out one after the other. I mean, boy, we got some people that's got talent, but God didn't save you because you got talent. Amen. Amen. God didn't save you because of what you were. God saved you because he saw that you could be. Amen. Are you listening? I'm glad I ain't what I used to be, but But I still ain't all I can be. God, I love my favorite song in all the world. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the sun and the star, the moon and the stars, the sun, the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. And if you're saved and you're surrendered to God, he's still working on you too. Amen. Now, old Poco, he's come a little ways from where he was. Still got a long way to go. But I bought this horse not because of who or what he was, but who he was. I didn't buy him because of what he could do, but I bought him because of what I thought he could be. You understand that? Hey, God sees something in you nobody else does. I could take you to Dallas, Georgia, just if we could back up in time just a very few short years ago. Ask anybody, go to the sheriff's department. Ask anybody on the staff at the sheriff's department, tell us about Jason Crow. You know what we'd have got? Biggest drug dealer in this county. We get a chance, we're going to put him in prison. That's all they ever saw. They had no idea what God saw. They saw a drug dealer. They saw a criminal, if you will. They saw somebody corrupting the lives of other people. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven who looked beyond the drugs, and he looked beyond the corruption, and he looked beyond the criminal activity. And God saw somebody not corrupting lives, but changing lives. Aren't you glad God saw something in you nobody else did? Amen. Had I not found him, he'd still be in Arkansas, sitting in a pasture, wasting away to nothing. Now, when Poco came home, he came from Batesville, Brother Stacy? Batesville, Arkansas. That's about a 10-hour drive from here. He had to come from a long way. He had to come from a long way. And listen, how many of you remember how far away from God you were? Boy, wasn't that something, man? But God got you where you are. You're here tonight. Maybe you ain't everything you ought to be, but you'll thank God you ain't where you was. Amen? Yes, I bet you every day the sun shines, that little horse looks up and says, thank God I ain't in Arkansas. Amen. He left snow that deep, man. I bet every day he says, thank God I ain't in Arkansas. Hallelujah. Thank God I ain't on my way to hell. I'm glad I ain't where I was. Hey, I was way, way away from God, way away from the things of God, but God was willing to bring me a long way up to where he was. There was some things that had to take place when Poco got home. He stepped off of that trailer. Brother Chris, was you there when I brought him home? No, you came over the next day, didn't you? When he stepped off that trailer, buddy, his eyes were as white as the pages on that Bible. The grandbabies were there, and they were on the porch just a squealing, and that horse was scared of his own shadow. I mean, he didn't know me. He didn't know them. He'd just been hauled 10 hours in a trailer. That first time he had ever done that, man. He'd just been traveled all the way across the country, gets out with a bunch of screaming grand youngins and me. I mean, buddy, I got the lead rope on him. It was a deal just to get him from the trailer to the pasture. He was afraid. Listen, man, when you first get saved, things are a little bit new to you. And the very first thing you got to do when you get saved is you got to learn to trust the Lord. Let me say it again. You got to learn to trust the Lord. The Lord ain't going to do anything that'll hurt you. The Lord only wants to do things that are going to help you. Brother Tommy got to shouting and run a lap around the building this morning. As a couple of visitors, man, look, they looked like that horse first time he got out of that trailer. That's the way he was at everything. I'd raise my hand to touch him. Boy, that's the way some of them people were this morning. Yeah. Yeah. Folks got to shouting. Folks got to come in the altar, and they're like, whoa, what is this? Yeah. Hey, it's okay. It's okay. Ain't nothing here going to hurt you. Amen. Are y'all listening to me? Ain't nothing here. Everything about our services, everything about the singing, everything about the preaching, everything about the Word of God is designed to help you become what you can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. The very first thing I had to do was earn that horse's trust. Before I could ever even think about getting on him, I had him for about 3 weeks before, and that was longer than that because he had a little injury. I had him for several weeks before I ever even thought about getting on his back. That would have been foolish. That would have been just absolutely foolish. He'd have threw me to the moon. It'd have been bad. But I had to take my time. Aren't you glad God doesn't rush you? Aren't you glad God doesn't rush you? You don't get saved one day and God sends you to Africa the next day on the mission field. Aren't you glad God allows you some time to grow? How many of you remember when you first got saved? Talk to me a little bit. All right, now be real honest. How many of you remember how dumb you were? Come on. How many of you remember how dumb? You didn't know everything. Amen. I know as the crowd preaches, if you get saved, you're automatic. Everything's automatic. It ain't automatic. Somebody will get upset with me right there. Hey, when I got saved, my cusser didn't quit.
Yeah, that's right.
My wife still ain't. No, I'm kidding. She don't cuss. I'm lying. I went from kidding to lying right there real quick. I want supper tonight. Amen. No, man, there was some things in my flesh I had to work on.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, I don't believe you can be saved and do this or that. You can be saved and do anything, friend. Saved people commit murder.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Saved people get drunk. Saved people smoke dope.
Yes, sir.
Hey, some people falling out with me right there. Your flesh is still capable of anything it was before you got saved. But I'm glad we serve a God. Now listen, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. There is some change coming our way. But I'm glad God allows us some time to grow. I could have jumped on Poco right after he come out of that trailer. He could have thrown me through the roof and I could have said, that's it. He ain't worth the flip, and kicked him to the curb. But I knew better. Before I could ever get something of value out of him, I had to earn his trust. I set up a little round pen there at the house and then the farm where Brother Chris works. He's helped me so much. I appreciate you, buddy. And just go over there. It's a round pen, a little corral where we train. I get in that round pen. The first thing I had to do is I introduced Poco to my tools. Did you know the Lord's got some tools? The Lord's got some tools. There's some things that I had to introduce Poco to. And every one of these things, he was afraid of at first. I got him in that round pen and I thought, buddy, you got to learn. I'm not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
And I got this little whip right here and I just started rubbing him all over. You ain't a horse, but you pretty close. And I just rub him right there, rub him all over. And I take that string and I just flip it around his back. Boy, he just jump and jerk, scared to death. I was wanting him to know this won't hurt you. This won't hurt you one bit. And that's the way the Lord is. He just kind of flogs us with kindness when we get saved. He takes that old King James Bible and says, hey, that thing is going to hurt you. He takes that Bible. Boy, you get in Sunday school. He says, look there, that Bible ain't going to hurt you. Ain't nothing wrong with that Bible. I know they say it's hard to understand. That book ain't going to hurt you. Amen. It may rub you a little rough every now and then. That Bible ain't going to hurt you. That Bible is a tool that is here to help you. Aren't you glad God had some tools that he put in place in our life to help us to grow? Amen. I got Poco in that round pen. And this is the way the Lord works with us. I try to do everything very nicely. And I don't want to hit these boys. But I just point. And first thing you want to do, you want to get them to move their feet. Forwards, backwards, left, and right. That's the whole idea. You got to get them to move their feet. And I just spanked the ground a little bit. But before I ever did that, I got him by the lead rope, and I really spanked the ground really hard. Scared him to death. He having a heart attack. What I wanted him to know, this ain't going to hurt you. And I spanked the ground on both sides. I mean, trying to give him a heart attack. And finally, boy, he'd pull and pull and pull and pull. And finally, he'd say, man, this ain't hurting. This ain't hurting. If he's not desensitized to those things, as soon as I get on him, every little thing's going to spook him and we're going to have a bad day. But I try to teach him, look, these tools aren't going to hurt you one bit. And I begin to chase him around and literally chase him around that round pen. Just trying to get him to move his feet, spanking the ground, spanking his little behind. Sometimes God has to spank your little behind to get you to move a little bit. Amen. And finally I'd stop and I'd take the pressure off. And here's what he'd do, Brother Broderick. I'm in the middle of that round pen with this whip. And he'd stop and he'd turn just like this.
Yeah.
You know what he's doing? Showing me his backside.
Yeah.
What he was saying is, I am not one bit interested in what you got going on up in here. There's a bale of hay over yonder. There's some feed down yonder. There's grass growing up out of the ground. I got better things to do. So you and your little whip can take a trip. This is what I think about it. So you know what I did? I kept pushing him. He'd stop again, show me his backside. As soon as he showed me that backside, I put something on his backside. Very nicely. Got him moving again. Finally, he got to where he'd run around that round pen, and I'd say, whoa, and he'd turn just like this. And if I stood still, my wife watched this. I called her, I said, watch this. I'd run him in that round pen, Brother Charles. I'd tell him to whoa. Not only would he stop and face me, he'd just walk right up to me and drop his head. Brother Chris taught me this. He said, that's called him hooking up to you. He showed our kids that out in the gym when he brought his horse over and preached to them. I could take my feet and I could turn like that, and that little horse turned. You know what I've done? I've earned his trust. He knows I'm not going to hurt him. Listen, you can trust the Lord. The Lord's not going to hurt you. Sometimes it may seem like the things he's allowing you to go through are killing you, but they're not killing you. He's not trying to make you bitter. He's trying to make you better. Amen. I had to learn to trust. He had to learn to trust me. He had to learn to trust my tools. There's a lot of tools. And we'll talk about them in a second. Everything going okay there, bud? Okay. He had to learn to trust me. But after that trust was earned, if he was ever going to go further, there had to be some training. There had to be some trust developed. There had to be some training. Now that training's where it gets interesting. Remember, he's got a great bloodline. He's foundation bred. His daddy and his granddaddy, his great-granddaddy, they're all somebody in the horse world. Just because of his name, that makes him valuable. Yeah. Do you understand? Just because of who your heavenly Father is, it makes you valuable. Yeah. But the guy told me, he said, "Now, Brother Eddie, I don't want you to misunderstand. He don't know nothing. He don't know anything. He's calm, he's quiet, he's not mean, he's not ill-spirited. He just don't know anything." So we had to start doing some training. In all the tools that we use in training these horses, every one of them, from the bridle to this whip to this bit, it's all about pressure. It's all about applying pressure. You've seen the cowboys on TV with their spurs. It's all about pressure. It's teaching that horse. They don't learn from pressure. They learn from the release of pressure. When I pick up on that bit, the Bible talks about the bit in the horse's mouth. That bit controls that whole body. That bit controls that whole body. Hey, I've got that horse now to where I can pick up on that rein just a little bit, and he'll turn his whole body left to right. Pressure. Do you know when you get saved, the Lord will start putting a little pressure on you? He'll pressure you to go to Sunday school. Amen. He'll pressure you to get involved. He'll pressure you to start coming to church on Wednesday night. He'll pressure you to go back on Sunday night. You thought, wait a minute, now I just wanted to go to heaven when I die. I didn't sign up for all this. And the Lord, come out here with me, Brother Chris, and help me a little bit. The Lord will start to put a little pressure. A little pressure. And man, that horse, just like me when I got saved, as soon as I started putting pressure on him, his first instinct, when you get pressure put on you, your first instinct is to turn away from that pressure. Now, if I put a little pressure on Chris, now look, I'm not pulling hard, but he's not giving to the pressure. And aren't you glad? Now, I could get over it. I could jerk on him and snatch on him. And you know how that's going to do? That's going to scare him. Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't work with you that way? All I did with that horse, I put that pressure on him and I just stood there. You see what I did? Chris didn't come over here to me. He didn't do nothing but give a little. Chris gave a little. I give a little. Our problem is, here we are, we're everyone. Man, this Christian life is so hard. Everything is so hard. That's where you are. That's where you are. All the Lord is asking for. That was it. You know what that horse learns? Man, it's so much easier. it's so much easier when he puts that pressure on me just to give into it. Just to give, look at that. I didn't keep dragging on him. And I ain't snatching on him, and I ain't jerking on him, and I ain't screaming at him. I'm glad the Lord don't deal with us that way. Now watch this. Over time, that pressure becomes just like this.
Yeah.
Two fingers. See how much easier that is?
Yes.
There's no struggle there. There's no conflict between. And that's where a lot of God's people are. God's got a little pressure on you to do better, to do right. And your flesh is saying, no, 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 no. And God's saying, and he ain't jerky, he's just holding. God doesn't give.
Yeah, that's right.
You understand that?
Amen.
God never gives. God never says, okay. You know the worst thing I can do for my horse when he resists me? Okay, but Donna. Yeah. And that's where a lot of people are with them. They'll start fooling with horses, and that horse begins to react negatively, and they think, well, this ain't working, I'm letting go. That makes that horse worse. That's telling that horse to have my way. All I got to do is resist what he's trying.
That's right.
All I got to do is resist. All I got to do is act ugly and he'll leave me alone.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to teach that horse, just like the Lord, I ain't moving, Jack.
Yeah.
I'm here to help you move.
Yeah.
God puts that pressure on. Look at there. Now, I've been saved about 30 years now. Brother Allen, it don't take near as much pressure as it used to. Just like tonight, man, we get our idea. Every preacher's the same way. We got an idea how we want a service to go and who we want to sing and what we want to happen. Man, I couldn't have ordered that tonight.
Yeah.
I didn't have no idea these testimonies was going to take place. You know what God started doing? God started putting a little pressure. I said, okay.
Yep. Amen.
God said, no, we're not going that way. We're going this way.
Yes, sir.
I have to do that with Poco constantly. His whole life, every minute I spend with him is constant correction. We start working in that round pen. I mean, it's constant correction. I'm having to say, no, I'm having to put some pressure on this side. No, we're going this way. No, we're going that way. And little by little, he's given to that pressure better and better. And we're both having so much more fun. Resist that thing again. I mean, that ain't no way to live. You know what that is? That's tension. That's not freedom. That's bondage. That is absolute bondage. And that's where most Christians are living today. They're just sitting there, just sitting back against God, going, and they're a nervous wreck. Every time you resist, man, that's tension. You know what tension is? That's stress. So many people come to church, they ain't no joy, they ain't no happiness. It's because they're sitting back against God just like that. And all they got to do is that all I got to do? That's all you got to do. It's just give. Thank you, Brother Chris. All you got to do is just give to that pressure. Just a little bit. How much does it take God pulling on you? How much does it take? How long have you been resisting? I sat there and told that little horse, Jack, I'm here. I ain't going nowhere. I'll hold this rope all day long. You're going to have to learn to give to the pressure. I put spurs on my boots, not because they're cool. That's to gain control of his body. I don't job him with those spurs. I just touch him with them.
Yeah.
I've got him now to where I can move my foot backwards in that saddle, put that spur against his rib cage, and he'll move that hole back in.
Yep.
Then I'll do it on the other side. He'll move that. You know what it is? It's pressure and release. I'm putting the pressure on the direction I want him to go, and he's learned to get away from that pressure to move in that direction.
Yeah.
And it's God's people to learn to get away from that pressure that God's putting on us is not to go in the opposite direction. It's to learn to give in the way God is trying to send us.
Amen.
And it'll work out better every single time. Amen. I wonder how many of you sitting there just right now. God's trying to work in your life and God's trying to do something in your life and you just pull it. Running never works. Resisting God never worked. Brother Warren's talking about him and Brother Jerry dressing up as Jonah and the whale. How'd that go for Jonah? How'd that work out? God said, go to Nineveh. You know what that was? Come here, Jeremiah. Get your arms and there you go. Are you cold, baby? Here's what God was doing. Pressure. What pressure? Toward Nineveh. Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Lean on me. I want you to go to Nineveh and preach. And Jonah says, I'm thinking Tarshish. I'm thinking in the other direction.
Yeah.
I don't like Nineveh. I hate Ninevites. Jonah was a racist. That's what we'd call him if he lived today. He hated those people. He didn't want to go preach to them. He wanted God to destroy. Well, I know what I'll do. I'll just go the opposite way. There ain't no way around God. I'll go the opposite way. Well, a few days later, he's in the belly of a whale. And you know what he says? Okay, God. I'll go to Nineveh. Get me out of this fish. I'm a preaching machine. What he learned was resisting God doesn't work. He could have went to Nineveh normal, but he had to go covered in whale puke. I know some of God's people tonight, you're in the belly. You are in the belly of the whale. Man, you have run from God so hard, and you've resisted God so hard. All he's asking is just for a little. For a little. Day by day. Man, I'll be honest with you, I'm the most impatient person in the world. I want everything. I pray for patience all the time. God, give me patience. Give it to me now. I am the most impatient. I mean, the day I got that horse, I want him roping steers. I want him doing it all. Are you with me? I paid for you. I got you all the way from Arkansas. Big boy, you better be ready to do something. And poor horse is like, I don't know. I know how to eat grass. I know how to eat hay. And poop. that's about all I do. That's my job. Fertilize the pasture. Amen. He don't know. So I had to learn to be patient with him. And I sure am glad God is patient with us. I started off, Brother Broderick, look there, grab that. I started off, just give me a little. I mean, he turned his head that much. I'd let it go. The next day, he'd give me a little more. The next day, he'd give me a little more. Next time, a little more. Less pressure and a little more give. Every day, less pressure and a little more give. It doesn't take near the pressure to get him to move now. It doesn't take near the pressure. I've got to where Brother Charles, I can take my fingers and just put on his rear end over there, and he'll move that rear end over. It didn't start out that way. It started out leaning on, move! You're on my foot. If you ever fool with horses, you ever have one step on your foot and just stand there? Yeah. Like what? You're on my foot. I can't get off. Well, if we just learn to give to that pressure. See what God's trying to do? He's trying to make something out of us. I wasn't fit for nothing when I got saved. I wasn't good for nothing. I was not useful to God one little bit. But God got me to where I could trust him. God proved to me over and over and over, I can trust him. Levi wrote that song, You Can Trust Jesus. You can trust Jesus. Quit resisting him and just trust him. He's not trying to hurt you. Trust and obey. There's no other way. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust the Lord with all your heart. Hey, man, listen, man, you can trust God. Man, I remember when God called me to preach, I thought there's no way. There's no way. I'm not a preacher. I ain't doing that. Maybe I'll be a deacon. I don't know, but I ain't being no preacher. Little did I know, God was putting pressure on me to do the thing that would make me happier than anything I've ever done in my life. I didn't realize that's what I was made for. But God did. What I've got to learn to do is when he puts the pressure, trust what he knows is best for me. There was some trust that had to be earned. There was some tools that had to be learned. And there was some training, which is still a lot of that going on and a lot more to come. Some of us are in training. I've been in training for 30 years to serve God. Somebody said, boy, you ought to have a pastor's conference and tell people how to do it. I ain't got a clue myself. I need to go to one. All I've done for 20 years pastoring this church, just trust the Lord. Amen. People come say, how do you do this? How do you do that? My answer is always the same. I ain't got a clue. Amen. And these people who think they can tell you how to do it, I wonder. I wonder. They have all these clinics and, boy, this is how you build Sunday school and this is how you build church. They don't know. It might have worked for them, but what worked for them ain't going to work for everybody. What we got to do is figure out what God wants personally in our life and personally for our church. Every place is different. Amen? Amen. There's some training. We're still in training. I'm still learning every single day. One of the greatest Christians I've ever had the privilege to know is Brother Randy Pike. He's one of our missionaries. He's 15 years in Australia, 15 years in South Africa. Brilliant, brilliant man sitting right there on that front row. I'll never forget what he said to me. He said, Brother Eddie, as I get older, I'm just beginning to realize how little I really know. How little, one of the smartest men I've ever known in my life, how little I really know. We're going to be learning. Brother Chris and I were together yesterday, and he was telling me about, I believe it was Martin Black, one of the great horse trainers. He said, there is no such thing as a finished horse. A lot of people say they've got a finished barrel horse or a finished roping horse or a finished cutting horse, finished reining horse, finished this, finished that. But that guy's philosophy is there's never one finished. There's no such thing as a finished product till we get to glory. Yeah. Amen. We'll never be everything we can be. Amen. It's a learning process from salvation to the grave. Amen. But I'm glad we got a God who is patient. Somebody say amen right there. I'm glad we got a God who is patient. He knows how to apply the pressure, and he knows how to take the pressure off, don't he? Some of you need to get out of the pressure tonight, and all you got to do is give in. All you got to do is surrender to the direction God's pushing you. Amen. And then you'll be ready to go somewhere. Now, I can do all the training. We can get all the trust. But there's another aspect that was kind of tough for me and Poco, and that was trailering. Trailering, hauling. But that first time I was going over with Brother Chris, and he was going to help me, and we was going to do a little work and a little training. I told him, I said, I'll be over there in about 30 minutes. Well, 30 minutes later, I called him and said, I'll be over there in about 30 minutes. It took longer to get this horse in the trailer. Now, we'd done some work at home. I'd earned his trust a little bit. We had done a little bit of training. But what good is the trust and the training if you ain't willing to go nowhere? What good's all that, man, if all you're going to do is stay at the house? Yeah. Some point in time, you got to be willing to go and do something. Yes, sir. Levi was telling me yesterday, Friday, Levi and I were hanging out a little bit. He said, Daddy, you going to preach that message about Poco Sunday night? I said, I'm going to try. And he said, man, I can't believe it. I got to preach off, and I ain't going to be there. I said, son, it's all right. God called you to preach too. Go preach, man. Well, I hate I'm going to miss that. I said, you ain't going to miss nothing. I'm going to miss getting to hear you. We got to be willing sometime to go. I don't want anybody to leave the church. I told you this morning, Brother Freddie's coming home from Colorado fired up about starting churches. He's done asked me. We talked on the phone Friday. He said, where you want to start the next church? I'm like, ooh, easy, boy, easy. We got to have a preacher first, amen. We got to have somebody who's willing to get in a trailer. Amen. Sometimes the problem with getting that horse in the trailer, man, horses are flight animals. They don't like tight, cornered up spaces. I'm leading old Poco across the yard. He's headed toward the trailer. I'm thinking, boy, we're doing good. We're doing good. He gets closer and closer to that trailer, Brother Charles. And boy, I thought, he's going to walk right on there. He gets the door of that trailer and says, whoop. I grab that rope and I pull and I put the pressure on. And he says, ain't happening, Jack. Ain't happening. I weigh 1,100 pounds. You weigh 160. Let's see who wins this match. I ain't getting in that cave. There's a wolf in there. That's what he thought. There's a booger in there. That booger's going to get me as soon as I go in that cave. I ain't getting in it. No. Mm-mm. And I was like, oh, good Poco. Come on, baby. And I pet him and love him. I pull on that rope. He said, I went and got some little apple treats, and I gave him a little apple treat. Here, buddy, come on. I ain't getting that box. I trust you, and I'll go around in them circles, but I ain't getting that box. Not today, not tomorrow, I ain't getting that box. Isn't that the way we do with God? Amen. I'll do this, I'll do that, but I ain't doing that. I don't like that. That doesn't look comfortable. I ain't doing it. I don't like that. I trust you, Lord. Yeah, right. I trust you, but I ain't going in there. I trust you, but I ain't tithing. That's crazy. I trust you, but I ain't giving no mission, man. Come on, that's ridiculous. I trust you, but I'll give a little money, but I ain't going on one of them mission trip. Are you scared? I said, okay, whoa, all right, ease up. I let the pressure on. You don't want to get in that trailer? No problem. No problem. I said, Poco, let me show you what Chris taught me. I got that lead rope and I got this whip right in front of the door of that trailer, and I whipped his rear end that away and that away. I run him over here. I'd stop him and I'd run him back over here. He'd stop and I'd run him back over here. He'd stop and I'd run him back over here. He'd stop and I'd run him. I'd stop him right there in front of that trailer, and he'd look in that trailer and go, I said, let's go. And I'd run him this way and I'd run him that way and I'd run. You know what I'm doing? I'm putting pressure on him. Only place I'm letting him even breathe is in front of that horse track. That thing's looking better all the time. He run back and forth, back and forth, and then all of a sudden I ain't stopping him. He's doing it all by himself. He run this way, and he run back this way, and I spank him running back this way. I spank him, and he'll go, hey, I like it. It looks good in there. I said, nope, you don't like a trailer. I remember all this. No, go this way. I run him back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. By the time we done with all that, I just unsnap a lead rope. He says, I'm going in here. I said, you like it, huh? I turn him around, bring him out. Bagging. I want you to love that horse trailer. You don't want to do it? We'll do something else. You don't want to ride? We'll go to work. You don't want to go to Hiram and have fun and see all them other horses? Well, you will. We'll back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Boy, I'm going to go out there and hook that horse trailer up, and he gets excited. I'm serious. I showed Chris the other day. We was over at the farm. I said, won't you watch this rascal get on that horse trailer? I'm talking about just heading that direction, buddy. He'll follow me, blump, 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 right up in there. He likes it so good, he don't want to get out of it. I ain't lying. I mean, boy, I get over there to the farm, wherever we going, I hook that lead rope to him, I start backing him up, and he goes, I ain't getting that. He's in love with it. Have to turn him around, walk him out forward. Hey, are you willing to go wherever God asks you to go? Wasn't that the great commandment? Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Yeah. We got some preacher boys in here ain't never done nothing. I don't want to get ugly. We got some that's flat out quit. You said you was a preacher. I wonder. I know God called me. It's preacher die. There's something in me and it's coming out. Boy, y'all got quiet. Problem is, there's some of you boys standing at the back of that trailer.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I'll go to church, but I ain't getting in there.
Go ahead, preacher. Yes, sir.
Amen. I'll go to Sunday school. I'll help take up the offering. Whatever. I ain't getting in that truck.
Yeah.
Okay. Let the Lord run you through the ringer.
Yes, sir.
Amen. There'll come a point in time preaching's going to look mighty good.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. I remember waking my wife up in the middle of the night. Lord had been dealing with me about preaching for months and months and months. And I fought it and fought it and fought it. Lord woke me up out of my sleep. Ashley was a little baby. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, that little girl laying in that bed in yonder, she's mine. And I'll take her.
Yeah.
I woke my wife up in tears. I said, honey, you remember what you said? You'd stand by me no matter what. She thought I was having an affair. That's how bad it was. That's how distant I was. I wasn't having an affair. I was running from God.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, my God, honey, what is it? I said, the Lord's called me to preach. She said, is that all? I'll never forget. Brother Chris, it was just like me and God was just like me and that horse. And when I said, the Lord has called me to preach, it was like, okay.
Yeah. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Man, I'd have been happy driving that bus at White Oak and picking up them kids the rest of my life. I was thrilled to death God let me go pick up bus kids. But God wanted more. God kept pointing me in that trailer. I became the youth pastor at White Oak. I loved it. I loved working with them teenagers. I loved teaching my Sunday school class, but God wanted more. Brother Robert Upton called me on a Saturday night. Brother Robert said, Brother Eddie, will you preach for us tomorrow? I said, well, really, I'd love to, but I can't. I said, I'm preaching at a black church in Douglasville tomorrow. And I hung up the phone. God convicted me. Oh, I mean bad. Because I could go. I was preaching in the mid-afternoon at the black church in Douglasville. I called Brother Robert back. I said, I'll be there in the morning. Yeah. I stepped in that pulpit. Brother Charles, you remember it. I stepped in that pulpit for the first time. I'd been to Happy Valley before. My wife grew up there. I stepped in that pulpit and put my hand on that wore-out spot where Brother J.M.'s had been all that year. That was my horse trailer. God said, you're home.
Yeah.
This is where we're going. But I had to be willing. I had no idea, Brother Charles, what God had in store. I didn't know where we were going, Doc. Had no idea. I couldn't see past hardly the four people that voted me in that Sunday. I couldn't see much past that. I had no idea. Maybe if I'd have known then where we was headed, if I'd have known how many people would have been in church this morning, I'd have probably backed off a little bit. I'm sure glad we got in that trailer. I'm sure glad we said, God, whatever, if that's what you want, we're willing to go. I'm having a blast working with this young horse. And I think he's probably teaching me as much or more than I'm teaching him. He's taught me how patient God is with me, how good God is to me, and how God so bad has a desire for me to be something that I'm not. And it's so much easier not to fight him and just to give in. Amen. So much easier just to accept the training. I'm almost done. We got over to the farm one day, and it's actually the first day I really rode him. First day, I had jumped up. I had some videos I was going to show you, and I thought, nah. But the first time I ever got on him, Levi was there, and he videoed it on my camera, and I just jumped up on his back, and I didn't sit on him. I just laid on him straight out. I just laid on him, rubbed all over him. The first time I ever really rode him was over at the farm that day, and Cade was there, and he was on Chris's roping horse, and Chris was on a young colt he's been training, and we worked in the round pen for a little bit, and then we went with other horses up in the big arena, and I just followed Cade around. I'd tell Cade to trot, and he'd trot, and Poco would follow right along. You know, it helps a young horse have an older horse around. Kind of knows what to do.
Yes.
Hey, young Christians, there's some older horses around here.
Amen.
Amen. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. There's some people that's been there and done that.
Yeah.
And boy, it wouldn't hurt you one bit just to fall in behind old Brother Charles and follow
Amen.
Him. Amen. It'd teach you something. Amen. But we're up there in that arena. I'll never forget it. And my horse just stopped dead still. His ears poked out just like that. I thought, what's the matter with you? I'm bumping his side. He ain't moving. And it dawned on me. He's looking out across that pasture. He sees something that I don't know if he ever saw in his life. He sees cows. And it was almost like you could read his mind. I don't know what them is. I sure would like to chase one of them. Them cows would start moving across that pasture. Boy, he'd just watch them. Boy, and it hit me. Brother, you realizing what you're made for.
Yeah.
You realizing what you were made to do? He ain't quite there yet. The very next week, we were riding again, and some cows scared him to death. We was trail riding in the woods. I was following Cade, and Cade is following his daddy. And Chris said, "Now be careful, there's some young bulls right here in the pasture." And about that time, here come them little bulls flying. I saw them, Chris saw them, Cade saw them, Poco ain't seen them. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, these two young bulls charging at the fence. Poco goes, "Pew!" I'm running through the woods hollering, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa." By the time Big Liam catches me across the head, I hit the ground. All I can hear, I don't even know if I'm dead. All I can hear is Chris laughing. But he got around them cows, boy, and he realized what he was made for. I remember the first time I stepped in the pulpit. I'm not saying God's calling everybody to preach. He ain't. But God's got something he wants you to do. God's got something he wants you to do. Some of y'all remember the first time you stepped up on a bus and one of them little kids threw their arm around you and said, "I love you." And it done something deep down inside your heart. And you realize, boy, God made me do this. Bus workers aren't born, brother. They're made. God makes them. Everybody can't be a bus captain. Everybody can't be a bus worker, period. It takes a special, special person to love them kids the way not only I require, but the way God requires for us to love them. You step in that Sunday school class for the first time. Even pull an old smoker up in the yard and start raising money to send some kids on a mission trip. Something inside your heart says this is right. I can't do a whole lot of things, but this is what I can do for God, and it feels good. I'll never forget, Stacy ain't worth shooting. He's one of my dearest friends, has been all our lives. I doubt he'll ever get up here and preach. If he does, I'm going to be somewhere else that day. Because he's assured me if he ever gets behind this pulpit, he's telling some stuff. But I tell you what, he's done more for the Lord. He can't sing. At least I ain't never heard him. He can't play no instruments. But boy, God give him a gift. He can cook. Between him and Brother Michael, they raised over $20,000 for our church last year. How many went to Thailand, Brother William? 12? 9 went to Thailand year before last. This year we took like 30, 28 or 30 to Colorado. I mean, paid for rental vans, Brother Allen, motel rooms, meals. 30 people, 28 or 30 people went to Colorado for a week and helped Brother Caleb knock doors. We could not have done that if God hadn't given him that ability. What I'm saying, man, is these horses are trained for many different things. They're not all roping horses. They're not all cutting horses or reining horses. They're not all dressage horses. They're not all racking horses. They're trained for different things. Some horses, I was watching on TV the other day, there's a show called Gentle Giants, and it's just about draft horses. They're big, big old. They're not elegant. They're not graceful. They're just built for pulling a load. But they're all made for something. You say, "Well, bless God, I'm a preacher." Well, bless God, he's a cook. And God get glory out of his talent just like he get glory out of your talent. And whenever you find what that is, brother, you're going to find something that's special in your life. The preacher, he don't know much. He's got good blood. He's got the right confirmation. He looks right. He just don't know nothing. I got a really good deal. Got him for $500. But I had to earn his trust. He's in the process of training. Still got a ways to go. He's learned a trailer. Get up and let's go somewhere. But when it's all said and done, he's going to be a treasure. Chris offers me my money back for him all the time. Truth of the matter is, I could double it or triple it already. But he's worth more than that to me. He's still got a long way to go, but I can see where he's going. You may have a long way to go, but God already sees the treasure you can be. There was a whole lot of people in my life that knew me growing up that if you'd have told them what I'd be doing today, they'd have laughed in your face. Am I right, Brother Stacy? They'd have laughed in your face. They had no idea, but God did all along. God knew exactly what I could be. I don't know about you. I know to this world I ain't worth a whole lot. But boy, somehow by trusting Him and allowing Him to train and teach me, if I could be a treasure to Him after the treasure He's been to me, He's met my every need. You know what I'd do for that horse? Probably makes my wife mad. I noticed he's losing a little weight the other day. I said, man, you got to have some better feed. I went and got him better feed. He gets fresh water every day. He gets fed in the morning. He gets fed in the evening. I make sure he's got good hay. I make sure his feet are taken care of. I brush him out. You know how it's been raining? My pasture's a mud hole. I got out there and brushed on him the other day for an hour. As soon as I turned him loose, he went out there and rolled in the mud. I ain't brushed him since, sorry thing. But I take care of him. And I'm good to him. I realize with him, there's a responsibility. And I guarantee you God's fulfilled his responsibility in your life. He's made sure you've had everything you need. And if you're like me, a whole bunch of stuff you don't. But he's let you just have a lot of stuff you want, hadn't he? Boy, if he'd be that much of a treasure to me, if I could be just a little bit of a treasure to him, if I could be profitable to him, boy, it'd be worth everything. That's why I go. That's why I preach. That's why I travel. Because he's been so good to me. Boy, if I can just give something back. The more I work with this horse, you know what he's doing? He's giving something back to me. He's giving pleasure. We sang it tonight, Revelations 4:11. We're created to give him pleasure. When that horse does good, it tickles me to death. Let me tell you this. Brother Todd, y'all come get a song. I'm through. Let me tell you this, and I'm done. I travel a lot, and I don't have a whole lot of time. And here's something I realized about this little horse. He spends a lot of time in the pasture by himself. I average maybe getting a ride one day a week, maybe two at the most. And Brother Tommy, he never progresses any further from the last time I spent with him. He never gets better out there by himself.
Right.
Even though he's got all the feed he needs and all the water he needs and all the care he needs, but he never gets any better without spending time with me.
That's right.
The more time he spends with me, the better he gets. The better he gets. If I get, I've got plans tomorrow afternoon. We're going to ride. But I promise you, it's been since last Monday since I've been on his back. I rode him last Saturday, didn't I, at the house. But he's got no better than he was then. I got him out of the round pen last Saturday and just got him out in the yard and rode him around the trees and just no pressure, man. We just enjoyed riding a little bit. And he learned some things and I learned some things. But I promise you, since last Saturday, that's been over a week now, he hadn't learned anything. He hadn't learned anything. You leave church on Sunday morning, Sunday night. You go home, put your Bible on the nightstand or on the kitchen table. If that's where it lays till next Sunday, you hadn't gone anywhere. You hadn't gotten any further in your Christian walk than you did the last time you spent with God. And you know what it is? Every minute we spend with Him is profitable. Every minute we spend with Him, whether we're learning the Bible, whether we're just time in prayer, God's working to make us better, to get that treasure out of us that He already knows we are. I wonder tonight, are you pulling against Him? Is this what your life is? Just like a tug of war? A struggle every single day? Why don't you get in this altar tonight and just say, okay, God, I give. And as soon as you let up and say, okay, God, I'll do it your way, you'll notice God take pressure off. As soon as you surrender, tomorrow won't be near as struggle today was. This week, hey, I'm not saying the devil won't hinder you. He will. He's going to fight you as long as you're breathing. But it'll get easier. It'll get easier if you'll just learn to give to that pressure. Where are you at tonight? Maybe you're just a new Christian. You got the right bloodline. You just don't know anything. I'm glad God's put you in a place where you can know something. We got people that love to teach this book, and they'll teach you this Bible. We'll preach you the truth. Amen? We'll help you. We're here to help you to become what God wants you to be. Let's stand to our feet tonight. If this little horse keeps going the way he is, about a year from now, 500 won't touch him. 5,000 may not touch him. His value just gets greater and greater and greater. The more time he spends training and trusting, the more valuable he becomes. I don't want to be valuable to this world, but I want to be of value to God. Brother Todd, y'all sing whatever's on your heart. Let's mind the Lord tonight. God, dealing with your hearts, you come.